You're listening to Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Dr. Catherine Whitcomb, the Assistant Professor of Anthropology from the University of Cincinnati, talks to Thane Maynard this morning about her research of lemurs.
Well, Catherine, good to see you again, not at the zoo, but here in the studio.
Well, thank you, Thane. It's terrific to be here.
Now, everybody loves primates, and as you may know, the most common primate in zoos is a ring-tailed lemur. But most folks don't know much about lemurs, so tell a bit about your work and about the world of lemurs.
Well, lemurs are terrific animals. They're primates. In fact, that's the same group of animals to which humans belong, so we too are primates. And chaffox's lemurs are native to Madagascar, so this is an enormous island off the southern east coast of Africa. And Madagascar has been separate from the mainland of Africa for over 100 million years. So it's a habitat that's very distinct, and lemurs are a very diverse group of primates, and chaffox primates are lemurs.
That's right, and beautiful ones, too. The species we have at our zoo that I know you study really is, in addition to being an interesting animal, it's actually a beautiful animal by sort of human standards. Its coloring, its facial configuration, it's a neat creature. And what led you to want to study lemurs?
Well, lemurs are entirely interesting in and of themselves because, unlike most primates, they don't walk on 4 feet, right? If you think about monkeys in general, like a baboon, they're sort of like a dog, right? They walk on four feet. But chaffox lemurs do something different. They hold their body upright, like you and I do, and they leap. They have this terrific propulsive technique of leaping from one branch to another with long muscular legs. And indeed, they are beautiful. So to look at them, they're stunning. But to watch them move from one tree to the other in their unique pattern is really amazing. And I studied locomotion, so how people move and how other primates move. And although chaffox and humans are very distantly related, they share some features in common. We don't leap like chaffox do, but we stand upright. And that uprightness presents some biomechanical challenges that I, as a researcher of locomotion, are interested in.
That's fascinating. And I guess all of this is the derivation of that saying, leaping lemurs. That's amazing.
Right.
Well, now, this is phenomenal. So you're studying locomotion at the University of Cincinnati.
Yes, I do. Yes.
You know, it's fascinating because UC is, of course, famous for DAP and you know, CCM and the med school and such. But here is amazing zoological and anthropological research going right on campus. Now, do you study it in your lab, or do you go to Madagascar? What do you do?
So yes, I do both. I don't actually go to Madagascar, although I do plan to do that next year or the year after. But I do study chaffox in the field, and that's in North Carolina at Duke University. So I have a laboratory, which is a gate lab at the University of Cincinnati in the anthropology department. I have a treadmill, and I have 3D motion cameras and force plates. And I bring human subjects into the lab, so I study how they walk and run. To study chaffox, I do that at Duke, where they have a lemur center, and it's a terrific facility with not only chaffox, but ringtail lemurs and other kinds of lemurs. They run wild in the forest, so I can study them in a natural setting. And then they have a research facility, basically the same kind of lab that I have here at UC at Duke.
You know, and I've been lucky to go to the Duke Lemur Center, and good grief, that is a phenomenal place. Because to imagine in eastern woodlands in North Carolina, these primates that come from the other side of the world literally just bounding around in the trees is the darndest thing ever to see. Now, when you're telling your story, and I've not seen your lab, but what it brings to mind, and I bet a lot of listeners have seen, especially with the Olympics, you'll see these stories on runners and how they're trying to improve how their foot lands or improve how, you know, to pick up their speed. And it seems like maybe a bit like you're talking about, their coach will video them on a treadmill and then come back and say this and that. So do you do that, or do you just look at them?
No, that's precisely what I do. So I use a motion sensor system. So I have little markers that I put on the bodies of humans and chaffox. And then in 3D space, the cameras, which are infrared sensitive, collect reflections off the markers. And so I can see how body segments and whole organisms are moving through space. So when a chaffox, for instance, prepares to travel because they leap, they crouch down. You mentioned the Olympics. So if you think of a long jumper, a human athlete, before he or she wants to jump across a big expanse, they fold down into a crouched position, right? And then explosively they extend their body and leap forward mm-hmm. and travel some great distance. This is precisely what chifaks do, but they don't do it on a track field on the ground. Mm-hmm. They do it in a tree. And while most primates that live in trees walk and run across the tops of branches that are horizontal, chifaks prefer the vertical upright branches. Mm-hmm. So they cling to them vertically, and then they just propel themselves off in this leaping fashion. And I can follow that movement using this motion tracking system. So I learned things about their acceleration, their deceleration, their takeoff angle. In fact, for a leaper, an optimal takeoff angle is 45 degrees from the substrate.
Okay. Right?
And I'm interested in what chifak mothers who are pregnant or having to carry their infants are able to do because they have an extra load. Mm-hmm. Does this compromise how well they can leap? And in fact, they don't take off at the optimal angle. They take off at a smaller angle, so they don't travel quite as far. And that means to travel a certain distance, they have to leap more often. And there's an energy cost associated with that.
That is amazing. Now, thinking about the chifaks, the lemurs that you and I have looked at together at the Cincinnati Zoo, unlike the great apes that we are related to, it seems like their proportion of their body to their legs is about like people.
Yes, it's really striking, right? Because humans are quite different from most primates in that we have relatively short arms and relatively long legs, right? So you think about walking, every time you swing your long leg, you travel farther than you would if you had a short leg, kind of the difference between an adult and a child when they walk, right? And chifaks have incredibly long legs. So if we look at the proportion between their arms and their legs, they have the exact proportion that humans do.
There you go.
They're doing something different, but in an evolutionary sense, right? Mm-hmm. Natural selection has favored elongation of their lower legs, just like evolution has favored the same in us. And so for me, to study how they move with their long legs is interesting because I'm also interested in how we move with our long legs.
And you would be an expert that could answer this for me because I've long felt that people are incredibly well built to walk. Mm-hmm. That because our bones are right underneath us.
Yes.
With very little energy, we can really walk all day long. It's just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling. So if we look at the energy cost that other primates incur, a chimpanzee, for instance, they don't normally walk on 2 feet, but a portion of their repertoire involves bipedal walking, and you can certainly train them to do it, even train chimpanzees to walk on treadmills. Their energy cost is very high, right? But as you indicated for you and me, it's a very low cost, and that's because, as you said, our joints are under our bodies, and we sort of walk like an inverted pendulum. If you think of a grandfather clock, with a pendular swing, except you turn it upside down. Your body is the mass that sits on top of that stem, and as you swing your legs, this pendulum goes back and forth. It actually is a very effective way to travel with little energy. So we're very efficient walkers, much more efficient than chimpanzees and many quadrupeds. So it's amazing, right? But it requires a lot of changes in our skeletal structure and how our muscles attach to our skeleton. And from an evolutionary point of view, from an anthropological point of view, I'm quite interested in this long journey that our ancestors went through to lead to us today being so effective at not only walking, but we're also very good at running, at least long-distance endurance running.
Right,
we're not good sprint runners, but we're good endurance runners. And chifaks are very good and economical at leaping, which is also very costly, but they do it in a very effective way.
You know, it's fascinating. And your point's an interesting one, talking about long distance. In fact, I just ran the Flying Pig Marathon.
Congrats.
And tens of thousands of people are out running of all types. One guy was fast and everybody else wasn't, you know, that sort of thing. And yet, another thing that amazes me, particularly as I get older, is that our bodies and our legs and our joints hold up. Now, I know sometimes they don't and people get joint replacements, but I mean, I have run a lot of miles and I'm 57 years old and still doing it. It's mind-boggling that there's not more wear and tear, but perhaps it's that a long time ago, people traveled a long way on their legs.
Yes, I think that's true. So we have increasing evidence, both experimental evidence and from the fossil record in reconstructing our human ancestry, that running played an important role. Our earliest ancestors walked on 2 feet, but they weren't, as far as we know, efficient runners. More recently, human ancestors became good runners. And you can think about Africa, which is, you know, the sort of the history of mm-hmm. human evolution in Africa, and a changing climate with increasing grasslands mm-hmm. and open spaces and trying to find food across greater distances, being able to travel quickly at a low energy cost would be an advantage. And so about 2 million years ago, we think our ancestors developed a new strategy that was both a behavioral strategy and an anatomical strategy to run effectively. And so for you to have run for decades without injury, I think is a testament to the natural, right, mm-hmm. inclination of humans to be good runners. And this is something we inherit from early ancestors, as long as you run smartly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't run too fast. So believe it or not, that helps you not wear yourself out so badly. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been really fun. It's been fun to talk to you about lemurs and see mm-hmm. you at the zoo. And I know you send your students over. So that's, I'm glad the zoo's two blocks from UC.
Well, I am too, and it's a terrific place, and I hope more people spend time at the zoo because we're very fortunate to have all of the animals, not just the primates who are there. So it's been terrific being here today. Thank you.
Thank you. You bet. Thank you. My guest has been Dr. Catherine Whitcomb, professor of anthropology at the University of Cincinnati. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.